Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This sermon tonight is about two words. It's about two words, two simple words. Two words that we frequently use the entire year, but especially at this time of year. Both words are small and both words are just one syllable, and both of these richly gospel-oriented words are given to us by the angel in Luke 2:10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Ah, did you catch them? Our two words? They are the words joy and all. And did you also notice, by the way, in what context they appear? Yeah, it's fear. It's fear. In fact, Luke 2:9 even calls it great fear. Why is there great fear? Well, just imagine that you're doing your job on one particularly ordinary evening, and suddenly from out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appears. Then the glory of the Lord shines bright all around you. Wow! I think this would shake anybody up. And yet, if you think about it, from what we know about God, this shouldn't surprise us at all. For after all, remember that a few millennia of God's faithfulness have led to this moment. Abraham and Sarah have journeyed to a foreign land and have become the bearers of a covenant. Ruth and Boaz have each overcome adversity to together move the messianic line forward. Moses has parted the Red Sea. David has taken down his giant. Esther has broken into the royal hall. Daniel has sidestepped becoming Purina Lion Chow. Hosea has married a prostitute. Jonah has driven the neighborhood cats crazy with his fishy musk. Bathsheba has moved her bathtub off the roof. Isaiah has seen a vision. Ezekiel has seen dry bones come alive. Kings and kingdoms have come and gone. The promised people have gone through at least two exiles. The temple has been rebuilt, as have the walls of Jerusalem. And 400 years of prophetic silence have left everybody wondering. But tonight, the glory of the Lord shone. And an angel has certainly startled a few sleepy shepherds with a shocking phrase, "Fear not." And honestly, we can relate with the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, can't we? For often in our ordinary lives, are shaken up, though it's not usually by an angel that shakes us up. Rather, it's the future that shakes us up. Yeah, the future makes us wonder about things like, well, what will 2022 really look like? And will my children be safe? And will I find that right spouse? Or will I have enough money? Or will I stay healthier? What about my job? And what about the pandemic? Then there's the politics and the polemics that raise our concerns. There are places like North Korea and Iran to worry about. And let's not forget about Russia and China. Racial tensions and radical agendas and dumpster fires run amok. And the technical name for all this timely churn in our life is chronophobia. It's chronophobia. It's a fear of the future. And chronophobia often makes us make all kinds of bad decisions and form bad habits and start bad relationships. So with such a looming fear, what are our options? Well, you know what? We can refuse to get up in the morning, but that would only waste the gift of the day that God has given to us. We could also cover up our windows, put on our sweatpants, and simply never go out anywhere. But I think that only intensifies our fear. See, experts tell us that the fear of the future, and frankly, almost any fear in the world, often leads to what's called risk lock. Risk lock. And risk lock is the condition which, like gridlock, leaves us unable to do anything or go anywhere at all. The truth, though, is that even the recliner in your home carries certain health hazards with it. Sure, recklessness leads to wreckage, and flippant disregard brings danger, and foolishness brings about death. But in the face of such daily fears, is rolling up like a pill bug really our only option? Or is there another? Ah, there is. See, one of the most potent antidotes for fear is joy. And that's our first word for tonight. It's joy. As in, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And if you notice, the angel doesn't just announce joy, he announces great joy. Why? Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This infant child is the Savior of sinners. He's the long-awaited Christ, the very Messiah promised of the house of David. Not only that, but Jesus is given a third title that's worth taking a moment to pause and think about, especially in this fear-filled world, and that's Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Just let that sink in for a minute, huh? Jesus, the long-awaited Savior and Messiah, is one with the eternal God. The Nicene Creed puts it this way: He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Jesus is Lord. But when he arrived, many will say, Jesus looked nothing like the Lord. There was a manger for a crib, some straw for the royal bedding, a few shepherds to trumpet his coming, and only a virgin and a carpenter to first receive this king. Why, Jesus cries, naps, sleeps, burps, fills a diaper, and needs his mother. He is fully man. Jesus come down to a manger. True enough. But he did it so that he could go even further down to a cross. For there on a God-forsaken cross, the Lord, God himself, was abandoned by his countrymen. He was abandoned by his followers, and he was abandoned by his own father. You know, this reminds me about a story. This reminds me about a story of a woman who was doing her last-minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall. She was tired of fighting the crowds, as you might imagine, and at least in another time you might be able to imagine this. She was tired of fighting the lines. She was tired of fighting her way down long aisles and looking for that gift that had only sold out minutes before. Her arms were full of packages, and by the time that the elevator door opened in this certain building, her patience was empty. The elevator was full, though, but the people decided to make some room for her. As the doors closed on this group, this woman blurted out, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." Well, a few others nodded their heads and grunted in agreement. Then from somewhere in the back of the elevator came this singular voice that said this: "Don't worry. They've already crucified him." See, amazingly, this Savior, heralded by the angels and welcomed by shepherds, Jesus the Lord, was crucified, and he did it to conquer death and replace our fear with joy, with great joy. And please hear what I'm about to say, for there is a huge difference between happiness and joy. These are not synonymous terms. Health and wealth, family and friends are blessings from God. They make us happy. But, and this is a big but, they are not essential for joy. Why is that? Happiness is determined by what is happening around me. I cannot control that. Joy, on the other hand, is determined by what's going on inside of me, and God has taken control of that. He sent Jesus, the Lord. See, Jesus didn't have a lot of reasons for earthly happiness. He didn't arrive as an emperor, a statesman, a general, or an investment banker. He was born in a feeding trough to a blue-collar father and a teenage mother. As an adult, Jesus had no home, served as an itinerant preacher, and washed feet. That's rarely a formula for making it big. And then, of course, there's this, Philippians 2:8. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, death on a cross was reserved for slaves and thieves and terrorists and murderers. It was for the lowest of the low. Roman soldiers ripped through his skin and nailed through arteries and whipped through gnarled cords and often severed precious nerves. It didn't matter much, though, because, well, where they were going, right? But obviously the pain is unimaginable. In spite of all this, though, Jesus has joy. Poverty couldn't take away his joy. Disappointment and rejection couldn't take away his joy. Even death on a cross couldn't take away his joy. Hebrews 12:2 says as much, "Who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising its shame." Jesus once said, "No one will take your joy from you." Why is that? Remember, happiness is determined by what's going on around me. I cannot control that. Joy is determined by what's going on inside of me, and God has taken control of that by sending Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Jesus, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel. Jesus, the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And folks, we all need to be reminded of this great joy often. Why? Because neuroscientist Rick Hansen would say this: it takes just 3 seconds. 3 seconds for a negative memory to imprint on the brain. But it takes 14 seconds for a positive one. He says our brains are like Velcro for the negative, and they are like Teflon for the positive. So we need this joy of Jesus, which stems the tide of fear and foreboding. We need the joy of Jesus that brings confidence in the midst of confusion and hope in the midst of uncertainty. We need the joy of Jesus, which brings calm in the midst of the chaotic storms of life, and we need it daily. C.S. Lewis said it like this: good things as well as bad, you know, are caught by an infection. Good things as well as bad. So if you want to get warm, guess what? You have to stand by a fire. If you want to be wet, you have to be wet by water. If you want joy, peace, power, eternal life, you have to get close to or even into the thing that has them. They are not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. They are a great foundation of energy and beauty spurting up from the very center of reality. If you get close to it, the spray will wet you. If you are not, you will remain dry. You will remain dry. See, to get what Lewis is saying and to get joy, we have to draw close. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, Luke 2:12. Luke, the gospel writer, tells us that Jesus is born with strips of cloths, rags that welcome him, and that the strips of cloths that he's wrapped in after his death are left behind in an empty tomb. Incarnation makes him real, resurrection wins the day. What better to frame a book, right? What better way to frame a book? A good news book, a book that we need, a book that's meant to give us joy. Check that. It's meant to give us great joy. Joy, that's our first word. Now, the second is likened, and it's really easily missable, but don't miss it. It's the word all. It's all. See, here's the thing. Great joy isn't just for some people. It isn't just for the good people. It isn't just for the quote-unquote religious people. It isn't just for nice people or moral people or people on certain side of the aisle or on certain side of the tracks. No, this is good news of great joy for all people. For all by faith to receive. To accent this promise, Luke includes this range of stories that occur nowhere else in the Bible. And those events announce that Jesus gives great joy to all kinds of people. See, only in Luke is Jesus revered by 2 street people at the temple named Simeon and Anna. Only in Luke does Jesus interrupt a funeral procession because a widow of Nain needs his joy. Only in Luke does Jesus commend a good Samaritan for stopping to help, and another Samaritan leper for giving thanks. So obviously his joy is meant for the Samaritans. It's meant for a remorseful woman, a repentant tax collector, a woman who lost her coin, and two unknown disciples that show up on the road to Emmaus. It's for a father that kills a fattened calf, and a prodigal son, and a criminal who hangs beside our Lord. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Yes, joy is even for a hopeless criminal, a denying disciple, a forgotten peasant woman. Yes, great joy is the gift that Christ gives to all, to anybody by faith. And he gives it even and especially to you. Do you know this? Oh, folks, do you need this? You know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but recently officials from Colorado Parks and Wildlife, they posted this photo of a large rubber tire that was previously stuck around the head of a bull elk. The elk was only 4 years old. Just imagine it in your mind, a tire stuck around the head of a bull elk. It weighed approximately 600 pounds, and it required heavy sedation, the elk did, before his antlers were cut to remove the burdensome tire. Officer Scott Murdoch said it was tight removing it. We had to move it. We had to move it just in the right way. Move it in just the right way to get it off because we weren't able to cut the steel bead in the tire. Fortunately, the bull's neck still had a little room to move. We would have preferred to cut the tire and leave the antlers for the bull elk's rutting activity, but the situation was dynamic and we just had to get the tire off in any way possible. People in neighboring properties had reported seeing the elk wearing the tire, get this, for 2 years prior to this, which suggested a potentially burdensome existence. Murdoch said the tire was full of wet pine needles and dirt. There was probably 10 pounds of debris in the tire. Ah, friends, Christmas is so much more than a fantasy or a fairy tale. It's so much more than sugar plum fairies and old Saint Nick and Jack Frost nipping at your nose. If you're like me, it's easy to get so stuck carrying around this tire around your neck. Of fear and sin and pain, pounds of dirt and prickly things and waste fill this tire around your neck. Yet tonight, Luke captures the Christmas gospel in two words that are meant to take away that weight, two words that have been so worth the wait, two words that are the fulfillment of a promise made generations before, sealed in a covenant for the future and meant for you today. Here they are, two words one more time. Let me remove that burden you've been carrying. Actually, let them remove the burden you've been carrying. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Ah, the Lord is come. Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name. Amen.